It's interesting that you mentioned bevacizumab. What do we know about bevacizumab and lymphoma?
Well, we're actually planning a trial in mantle cell lymphoma with CHOP and rituximab plus bevacizumab as upfront therapy. That's a future phase 2 trial that we're looking at. We have a lot of interest in angiogenesis and lymphomas. The data with bevacizumab in lymphoma has been generated primarily from two studies, one from the Southwest Oncology Group that looked at, it was a single agent trial presented, I believe, at ASCO a couple of years ago just as a poster, and they treated in the ballpark of about 50 patients and had a couple responders, again, multiply relapsed large cell lymphoma, and trying to look at correlative studies and other things that are being looked at in solid tumors, et cetera. And then there was a pilot trial out of ECOG that looked at CHOP-R plus bevacizumab. It was a small study, I want to say between 15 and 20 patients. I think it was published in Leukemia and Lymphoma, that showed that you could give them together and that there was activity, but obviously what the bevacizumab added to the CHOP-R would again require a randomized trial.
What do we know about angiogenesis and lymphoma?
Well, there have been a number of studies. Our group at Cornell has been focused on understanding the circulating endothelial progenitor cells that mobilize from the bone marrow. These are not unique to lymphomas, but they seem to play a role in lymphomas as well as other tumors. Certainly, things like microvessel density in tumors have not very well correlated with outcome, but you can look at certain markers, more dynamic markers of endothelial cell activation. You can also look at VEGF and other growth factor activity and receptor activity, and those do seem to correlate with outcome and response to some degree. So it seems like it plays a role, but it's not entirely clear how best to target those pathways.